Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening. Tom Moran here from Tom's Big Spider. So before we start the main portion of the podcast, which I can't wait to get into, I do have a quick announcement from the U.S. Tarantula Sustainment Project. You guys remember I had Emil and Aaron on a while back to talk about it. It's a way to kind of make sure that everybody in the United States has access to some of the more difficult to get tarantulas. For example, P. Celotheria species, the Sri Lankan species, cannot be sold over state borders, so it can be difficult for smaller states like my own Connecticut, people in these smaller states, to get these tarantulas and to find ones to breed and pair. So what they are doing is they are currently open to donation requests. So here is the message: Happy Holidays from the U.S. Tarantula Sustainment Project. Donation requests are currently open for the states listed below. At least one recipient from each of these states will be selected to receive 3 P. Celotheria ornata spiderlings. These spiderlings were produced in the fall of 2023 by Emil Weber. Donation requests will close on December 31st, 2023. All recipients should be contacted by January 31st, 2024. If these dates change, an update will be posted here. And the states that they are currently looking to send them to are Alabama, Arizona, Colorado, Connecticut, Iowa, Mississippi, Montana, Nebraska, New Hampshire, New Mexico, North Dakota, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Utah, and Vermont. So, if you are in those states and you're looking for P. Celotheria ornata for the intent of breeding, now this isn't, hey, I'm going to grab a few of these and turn around and sell them for exorbitant prices. That would be sleazy. That's not what this is about. They are specifically looking for folks who are looking to breed these and create a population of them in their state so that we can continue to have them. And I can tell you how incredibly important this is because, again, I'm in Connecticut, small state, probably not as many tarantula buyers. There's a few, but not as many as some of the other states. Not as many people breeding them. So it's very difficult for us to get a hold of the Sri Lankan pokey. So he is looking for folks who are into this for the intent of breeding. Now, I did click on there's, if you find your state on here, say I click on Connecticut, what comes up is a little questionnaire, a little form that you have to fill out. It says Connecticut donation request. This survey is for Connecticut residents interested in receiving ESA P. Celotheria gifts as part of the U.S. Tarantula Sustainment Project. So again, he's not charging you for them. And this is where I think we're going to get some people trying to apply that are just like, hey, I can get some, you know, free or not, is it nobody can get? No. That's not what this is about. This is about, I am looking to raise these up and either breed them or trade them to somebody in the state that's breeding. So recipients selected for this donation will receive 3 P. Celotheria ornata spiderlings. And just so you know what's on the form, I live in the state of Connecticut. You have to click yes, first, last name, contact, email, address, or link to your Facebook profile. ESA gifts are intended to be raised for future breeding in the recipient's state of residence, not sold as inventory. So you have to click that you understand. If selected for a donation, the recipient will be responsible for covering FedEx overnight shipping. So that's, again, you're getting these for free for breeding. The least you can do is pay the shipping. That's not part of buying them. It's you're paying him to ship them out. Because I'm telling you, I'm blown away by Emil's generosity when it comes to these. I have some that he sent me. I paid shipping, got them in. I have them here. I couldn't be happier. So you have to understand or agree that you understand these terms. Have you kept P. Celotheria species before? I think that's going to be important for people that are breeding. You should probably have some experience with that genus of tarantulas. And do you have any breeding experience with any tarantula species? And you have, I have had one or more successful breedings that resulted in spiderlings. I've attempted breedings, but have not yet produced any spiderlings. I have not yet attempted breeding, but I would like to. And then number 8, please list the species you have produced below. If you haven't yet, you can leave this blank. And is there anything else you'd like us to know? So nothing crazy on the form. I'm hoping some folks jump on this. Emil is a great dude. I can tell you from personal experience, having interviewed him and talked to him over the last couple of years, and the fact that he's willing to do this. This is so many people out there get into this hobby to make money off of it. They're breeding, and I get it, because there's money to be made. So they're pairing animals. They have an animal like the Piranata that they could get a lot of money for, and Emil doesn't care about that. He's trying to get these guys out there to make sure that across the United States we can legally have these in our hobbies. So sleazy scumbags that go out there and try to sell them across state lines, hopefully we'll just get put out of business, because we don't want to do that. I've gone through why a million times. It's incredibly important that we toe the line as a hobby in the United States and make sure that we're doing this stuff legally. So, Emil, if you're listening to this, thank you so much for doing this. Aaron, thanks so much for being part of it. And if anybody, you know, goes ahead and submits to this and gets those P. ornata, please let me know. I'd love to talk to you about it. So as you've probably deduced from the title of this podcast, we're going to have some fun today. I've been toying with this one. I did a couple weeks ago, I did the first one of these as a YouTube short, which is my Versus series, which I'm going to have some fun with because it seems like there are certain species that when you bring them up, somebody inevitably comes on and goes, yeah, I don't like those. I have this one. And they have a different one that's kind of comparable to it. And I want to make it very, very clear off the bat, because you guys should know me by now. I'm not one into doing things for shock value. I'm not one to sit there, like, I don't like doing lists only because who am I to tell you what the best tarantula is, the best old world, the best new world, the prettiest? There's so many species out there. There's something out there for everyone. I don't like to get caught up in that. However, there are, like I said, some ones that seem like you can't mention one without somebody mentioning the other. It's almost like sports rivalries. I live in Connecticut where, like, for example, for baseball, you're either a Yankees fan for the most part or a Red Sox fan, and everybody argues over them. So if you mention Yankees, oh, Yankees, no, come on, Red Sox. If you mention Red Sox, same thing. If you're a Yankees fan, it goes back and forth. And some of these species, we kind of have that type of dynamic with. Somebody will mention, hey, I got one of these, and somebody will come on and go, you should check out this one because they're even better, which I'm going to admit drives me nuts. I don't get the whole negativity aspect of it. I get that some of us like one species more than the other, but to go on to somebody that likes, you know, species A and say, no, species B is better, it's just kind of wasted energy for me, but it just keeps happening. So I figured why not harness some of this energy and have some fun with it and take a it's not a scientific approach. I'm going to be basically basing these comparisons on my own personal observations. And the nice thing is I was able to go back through many of the videos, look at the comments, and pull out what other people said. So it's not just the with both of the species we're talking about today, which is no surprise because it's going to be in the title. I always forget when I'm doing the podcast, I'm like building up to this surprise. What's the topic going to be about? And I always forget that it's always in the title of it. So today we are doing C. cyaneopubescens, or the green bottle blue, or the GBB, versus D. diamantinensis, the Brazilian blue beauty. I probably shouldn't have started with this one because I think this is probably the most common battle we have in the hobby as far as people liking two very similar spiders. Although the last one I posted up, the first one I posted up for YouTube was the A. geniculata versus the Nandu chromatis, which is another one. I have some other ones, a lot of other ones lined up. So again, if people have suggestions, feel free before we get into this to write me and let me know which ones you'd like to see compared. I have a running list right now of ones that I've seen over the years. I was going through video comments saying, oh yeah, every time this one's mentioned, people go, no, we got to get this one. I've got some ones I want to do. And again, I want to impart to everybody out there, make sure it's very, very clear. This is for fun. So here's where this one came out of. I just posted up on YouTube a video featuring my C. cyaneopubescens GBB that we're rehousing. I have a juvenile. It's the second one I'm raising up. I raised up two females that unfortunately passed from old age. And I'm really excited to be putting it out there. And right off the bat, there were people coming on going, well, why don't you do a D. diamantinensis video? You haven't done one of those in a while. Or I like this one, but this is a good-looking spider, but I prefer D. diamantinensis. So the D. diamantinensis people are generally the ones that kind of contribute to this ongoing battle because they're very protective. They love their spiders, and they tend to like to come on to the C. cyaneopubescens and say, check this one out. And I went back through a couple of the other GBB videos I'd posted, and of course, there were people talking about D. diamantinensis. So on the D. diamantinensis ones, what we usually get is folks just making the observation because the C, for folks to know the history of the C. cyaneopubescens has been around the hobby for quite some time, 12, 13, 14 years around there. I'm not exactly sure. D. diamantinensis slightly less. And I think the C. cyaneopubescens was already well established in the hobby. So when I put up D. diamantinensis, usually the comment I get is people come on and go, oh my gosh, that looks exactly like a GBB, or I thought it was a GBB, to which the D. diamantinensis fans will come on and go, no, this one's way more beautiful than the GBB, and there's where you start to get the conflict. So I figured this would be a fun one to do, and I'm kind of excited about it. I have both species. I love both species. I'll spare you my opinion on it, but what I did was I broke down, I made a chart. I had fun this morning. I made a chart, and it's basically got the GBB, we're going to call it the BBB, the Brazilian Blue Beauty, and I looked at categories like sling size, how big they start off as slings, growth rate or time to adulthood, ease of care, speed, temperament, hairs, hunting, prey drive, maximum size, color, patterning, visibility, webbing, cost, and then a surprise one at the end that I'm just doing for kind of fun. So we'll get into, we're going to compare each of them in terms of these categories. And what I did was I personally, having raised both of them, I either rated them green. So one would get a green, meaning it kind of has the edge. One would get a red, meaning it's not as good as, well, I don't want to say not as good as the other one, but the other one has a little bit of an edge over it. And then yellow was basically, it's a tie as far as I'm concerned. So to kick this one off, our first category is sling size. How large are they as slings? And the reason why I put this one on there is because there are many folks out there, when I post a video and I talk about, I got this spider and it was only a third of an inch or a quarter of an inch or an eighth of an inch, they say, oh my gosh, the little teeny tiny ones freak people out. And I get it, because the little teeny tiny ones still freak me out. So sling size for the GBB, we are looking at most of the ones that are sold on the market are around 0.5 inches or 1.27 centimeters. I've seen them go up to 3/4 of an inch. Those are ones that are very well started, but usually around a half inch or so. So decent sized spiders when they start, which is good, because I think anything below a half inch starts to give people fit, starts to freak people out. Half inch is still a tiny spider, don't get me wrong, but within a molt or so, they put on enough size that they're out of that teeny tiny spider stage. Now, for the BBB, the Brazilian Blue Beauty, you're looking at slings around 0.25 inches, a quarter inch, or 0.64 centimeters or so. They can be a little bit, I've seen, again, ones that are more well started that are around the half inch mark or 1.27 centimeters. But usually, folks, these are so popular when they come out, as soon as they hit second instar, they're selling them. And I know when I first got mine three several years ago, God, it might have been 8-9 years ago, they were super tiny and I was freaking out. I put them in these little tiny dram vials and I was like dying, because I'm like, I'm going to kill these things. They're so tiny. But they did just fine. So BBBs start a little smaller. They're a smaller spider overall. GBBs start a little larger. I've had people say that they were freaked out by the BBBs. So in sling size, I'm going to give the edge to the GBB as far as just anybody being able to pick them up. Folks tend to do better with the larger slings. People tend to freak out with the tiny ones. So basically, I gave the edge to the GBB here because the GBB slings start off a little bit bigger. However, for anyone used to raising up slings, it doesn't mind raising up a teeny tiny sling, it's going to be a draw. I just gave it the edge because I know for a fact a lot of folks are afraid of keeping those teeny tiny slings. So for sling size, I had the GBB in the green, I gave it the slight edge over the BBB, which got the red. Now, we can't talk about sling size without addressing the next topic or the next category, which is growth rate, or the time it takes them to reach adulthood. And I think this is incredibly important, because I was just talking to somebody who picked up the Haplolepis formosus or Haplolepis species Columbia larges. They're like, man, they start off so tiny, it was freaking me out, but it molted within like 2 weeks and it put on a little bit of size and now I'm not so scared of it. So even though some spiders start off really tiny, if they grow quickly overall, they get out of that stage rather fast, which makes them easier to keep. So when looking at the growth rate, again, I've raised two, I don't know if I mentioned this at the beginning of the podcast, I've raised two batches of these, meaning I had slings a while back, raised them up to adults, now I'm raising my second slings. The GBB tends to grow at a medium pace. My first ones grew fairly quickly overall, but my second one's growing a little more slowly. And when I talk to people about growth rate, I've had several folks come forward and say theirs grow a little more slowly than some of the other species, or in some cases, more slowly than they were expecting. So I would say the GBB grows at a medium pace. It took mine, I think my first ones, about, we'll say 3 to 4 years, but it was closer to the 4 year mark where they hit that like 4, 4.5 inch mark where they were adult females. It took them a little while, but overall, I hate that because it's kind of misleading, because they do eat great. They do tend to molt very frequently. I know when I first got mine, they were about a half inch or so, and they were molting almost like clockwork every 2 months for the first, you know, year I had them or so. And then they started slowing down in between. They'd have longer pre-molt waiting times where they would be in pre-molt, wouldn't be eating. And then finally, when they hit like the 3.5 inch mark around there, it would take them a little while between molts. Now, the BBBs I found are fairly fast. And I say fairly fast because the first ones I raised were a little bit slower growing. It might have been due to my temperatures, because that was back when my temperatures were a little bit lower than they are now. The new one that I'm raising up, whether it be a little guy or a little girl, is actually growing fairly quickly. So the first ones, I think it took me around 2 to 3 years. I think the males were around 2-ish. Females around 3 years before they hit their max size. So that's something to keep in mind, because that almost negates the smaller sling part. Yes, you're starting off with a teeny tiny sling, but the good news is you're going to have a beautiful adult much more quickly, because they grow faster and they don't get quite as large. So I gave the edge to this one to the BBB. However, please keep in mind, when we talk about growth rates, there's always folks out there that have outliers. There's folks out there that have just natural temperatures, natural environments that are really conducive to growing up slings quickly. So I'm sure there'll be folks out there that will tell me, hey, my BBB actually grew even faster than that, or my GBB grew, you know, it hit adulthood within 2 years. I get it. But for most people that I've talked to, they tend to say the BBBs grow a little bit more quickly. GBBs take a little more time to reach adulthood. So we're one and one now. Sling size goes to GBB. The growth rate goes to the BBB. Next up, we have ease of care. Now, let's just call it out. Both of these are fairly easy to, or very easy to grow up to adulthood. I think they're pretty hardy spiders overall. The GBB, they're one of the more interesting spiders out there, especially as slings, because as we just talked about in the last podcast, they are one of the species that really do like it more dry as slings. We don't want to go over the top. I moisten a corner. We talked about this. I dribble water on the webbing, water dish, but I do not give them, generally speaking, moist substrate as slings. And that goes on right through to adulthood. Dry as juveniles with a water dish. Again, mist the webbing, spray a little water, squirt a little water on the webbing so they can drink up there. Dry as adults, same thing. Now the BBB, a little trickier, because you'll see people say these are ones that they like it slightly moist. And I think where this trips people up is people are like, what exactly does slightly moist mean? I know I've struggled with that in the past, where it's like, are we talking about a corner? Are we talking about just like a little bit of moist substrate? It's for me, for the slings, I would squirt some water in the side. Make sure that part of the substrate stay moist. So usually with slings, I make sure the bottom levels stay moist at all times. With the BBB, what I would do is squirt water down the side, make sure that part of the side was a little bit wet, but keep the other side bone dry and let it dry out a little bit in between. And again, I would mist the webbing. I would spray a little water when I go to feed. I'd spray a little water down the side, so it was enough that it would stay there for maybe 24 hours max. So if it wanted a drink, it could get a drink, but then the water would evaporate. So slightly moist with juveniles, I always keep, like mine right now, I moisten a corner and I just basically, she's in kind of a rectangular enclosure. And what I do is I go around and I moisten a different corner every time. She's also got some green sphagnum moss in there and I moisten that up so she wants a drink. And she has a water dish, which she likes to cover up with webbing that I have to cut out every single time. So a little moist corner with a water dish. And then as adults, again, I would make it rain in one corner of the substrate. I would put a water dish in, let it dry out in between, keep the water dish full and they're fine. And then again, sprinkle water on the webbing. So when looking at ease of care, we're kind of splitting hairs here. They're both fairly easy to keep, but because the BBB, and I'm sure there's going to be folks out there, I know there's folks out there that have told me they've raised theirs bone dry just like a GBB, but this is one of the species I've had folks keep them dry and they've had mysterious deaths, so I worry that that might have been too dry. So I'm going to give the edge to the GBB in this, in that they're pretty much bulletproof as far as when you got a spider that doesn't even need moisture as a sling. That's a really hardy spider. With the BBB, you have to be a little more attentive to that stuff. So slight, very, every so, ever so slight edge to the GBB in terms of ease of care. Now, speed. This is a big one because I've spoken many times before about how the GBB, I do include it when I talk about beginner species, but it's always with a caveat because this is the spider that I think for many folks introduces them to true spider speed. So in other words, a lot of folks start off, they're keeping Brachypelma species, they're keeping a Faunapelma, Gramostola, you know, maybe even a Lasiodorus species, ones that when they're motivated, they can move. Let's put that out there. Any spider can move quickly when it's motivated. But I think the GBBs may be a bit faster and more inclined to use their speed than some of those. So this is the one where I have a lot of folks tell me, hey, I got this spider. I'm freaked out. I don't want to. It bolted the other day, ran around its enclosure. I've never seen anything move that fast. And it's one of the ones I often recommend for folks who want to work up to an old world. This is one that kind of does a good job for being a new world of simulating that speed and that skittishness that you may find with an old world tarantula that is not given a correct environment, that is caught out in the open. So I think that this is one that definitely opens people's minds when it comes to, wow, these guys, when they're motivated, can be very, very fast. Now we move over to the D. diamantinensis, the BBB. These slings are lightning fast. I think they are much faster than the GBB. When I first got mine, I got my first three from Tanya Fear Not Tarantulas years ago. And on the actual containers, the shipping containers, it said, be careful, I am fast. And I, a little smiley face. And I remember looking at Billy and go, oh, I'm sure I'll be fine. They were. They are super, super fast, especially as slings. So that's something to keep in mind. Juvies and adults remain quick, but I think unlike the GBBs, yes, they'll use their speed, but it's usually to bolt into their webbing. So it doesn't become an issue, but slings are fast. I don't know. I'm torn on this one. I was going to give the edge to GBBs only because I don't think they're quite as quick as the BBBs, but I think it's kind of a wash. Both are rather, when they are inclined, have that burst of speed. They can move around. I do feel like the BBBs might be a little more of a handful when they're slings because they're so fast, but I kind of called it a tie. I'm leaning ever so, I'm looking at this now, and I'm leaning, having worked with both species, the BBBs are definitely a bit quicker, but I think at this point, we're just going to call it a tie. So if it came down to a draw, I guess this would be something we'd go back and revisit. In this case, we're going with, they're both very, very fast, especially for New World species. Just, I think what negates that speed with the BBBs is the fact they're a little more likely to hide than run around their enclosure and kick hares. So that would be my thing. But that brings us to the next category, which is temperament. And this can be an important factor for folks who are keeping, they've just learned, oh my gosh, these guys are fast. How am I going to deal with them? How do they use the speed? And I think that's important. Being fast is one thing. How you're going to use and when you're going to use your speed is another. Now for temperament, for the GBB, most will report some skittishness, ones that are a medium to high skittishness. Mine both went through, my two females both went through a very, very skittish stage for several years where they would kick at the slightest disturbance. Sometimes I'd be moving an enclosure next to theirs and I'd see them kicking away. This is something that a lot of folks will notice with the GBBs, that they hit that point where they're adults, like 4 inches or so, and they kind of become more the stand their ground type. And I think part of this is due to the fact, and we'll talk about this in a minute, that they don't hide as much as some of the other species. So temperament-wise, GBBs definitely skittish. Again, as we talked about before, they're fast, and they will kick hares if disturbed. Now, the BBB, I found they are definitely skittish, but more shy. And what I mean by that is they're going to web up. They're going to use that webbing to hide in. And so they more likely, like when I take my BBB enclosure off of the shelf to go to feed he or she, usually what happens is that spider bolts into its webbing. I don't see it. They get disturbed. They're like, I'm out. My GBBs, on the other hand, a lot of times will stay out in the open, and that's where you'd run into issues. So with temperament, I found they're similar in that they're skittish, but the GBB is more of a stand the ground, kick the hares, run around the enclosure, where the BBB is one that will normally, if disturbed, bolt and hide. A lot of folks will say, and that's going to come back later on to be a negative, so we'll get into that. But while we're on temperament, we have to talk about the fact these are New World species, New World terrestrials. So as such, they're obviously, with most New World species, they have what's called urticating or irritating hares, which they can kick off their abdomens in a cloud to try to deter predators. So when we're talking about hares, this is where it gets interesting, because the GBB, as we talk about, it will kick hares. Although most say the hares aren't that bad. I just had a couple people chime in saying, yeah, I got hares kicked on me. They really weren't that bad. I've worked with them for years. Mine were kicking all over the place. I can never remember having a bad reaction to them. So the hares don't seem to be particularly bad to people, but they will kick. And if somebody's super sensitive to them, that could be an issue. Now, as far as the BBB, you may be thinking to yourself, well, how bad are their hares? Well, here's the surprise. They don't have urticating hares. They're one of the few New World species that don't have those urticating bristles that they can kick off. So that means this spider, in one of my videos, the worst part was I was doing a list of New World species that don't have urticating hares, and then I put out a D. diamantinensis video, had a huge brain fart, and went, yeah, and I've never seen mine kick. Well, duh, it doesn't have any hares to kick off. So that's a huge plus for people who want a beautiful New World species that doesn't kick hares. That might be, I have a kind of a faded green tone for this one. That might be a bright green tone, because that's a big one. No hares. So when we look at temperament and hares, this is where the BBB starts to pull ahead a little bit, because again, they are shy. They are a little bit skittish, but they run and hide, and they're not going to kick hairs at you. Where the GBB, a little less likely to bolt and hide, and if it gets caught out in the open, it's going to send out a cloud of hairs from its booty. So while we're talking about temperament and the fact that one of these guys tends to stay out in the open, one of them tends to hide, I think the next category we should look at is visibility. This is always important for folks, or often important for folks, who want a spider that they could show off. If you're getting something that's this beautiful, you want to be able to get pictures, videos of it, show your friends when they come over. So as far as visibility is concerned, I've had three GBBs. All were quite visible unless they were in pre-molt. And I just did one of the things I talked about in my last GBB video that I just posted, was I covered some of the questions I get about the species because they're kind of unique as far as new worlds and a little bit different. And one of the things we talked about in it is the fact that when they're in pre-molt, it's very difficult to tell because their booties don't get particularly large for a terrestrial. A lot of the new world terrestrial species, they get very, very fat. And the GBBs don't seem to ever put on a lot of size. I've had ones that look like they had just molted and then they molt again. So something to keep in mind, but a lot of them will start doing a lot of heavy webbing and they will hide themselves in the webbing when they are ready to molt. But for the most part, they're right out in the open. I've had one that webbed the whole enclosure. I kept it terrestrially. It sat right out in the open, didn't use its hide. I had another one. I gave it a 12 by 12 by 12 or 30.5 by 30.5 by 30.5 Exoterra Mini. And it used that extra height. It webbed up all over its cork bark. I had plants in there. It webbed up all over them, killed them. And it would sit right on top of that mountain of white webbing and was always out in the open. The only issue I'd ever have is I tried to put bright lights on her to get pictures of them, to get those colors to pop, and she'd sometimes go around the corner and kind of hide in a corner, but still out in the open. So very, very visible. Now, as far as the D. diamantinensis, mine were all a bit more shy, and when they web kind of like an old world. So this could have something to do with the fact they don't have those urticating hairs to defend themselves, so they're not going to be inclined to stand their ground because I don't think the venom is any worse than any other new world species. So what they do is they bolt into that webbing. So I've most of the times when I've had mine, they would always be in the webbing hiding when disturbed. Again, I could lure them out with food. Every once in a while, if I was very careful, I'd get some shots of them sitting out in the webbing, but if I picked up that enclosure, they would run and hide. And I can say that when I talk to other folks, when I put up my last video featuring the D. diamantinensis, I think it was a short, several folks came on and said they love theirs, but they never see it. So visibility, the amount of times you're going to catch yours out in the open, how easy it is to catch out in the open, I do believe the edge has to go to the GBB in this case. They are overall, I know there's going to be folks out there say, well, mine webbed up and it hides. Yep, there's always going to be exceptions. But most people find that their GBBs are fairly visible, where the BBBs, the diamantinensis, tend to hide a lot more. So again, we kind of had to loop the speed, temperament, and visibility together because they all seem to work together. You have a spider that doesn't have those hairs, which is fantastic, but it's going to use that speed to bolt and hide, where the other one has those hairs, so it's a little more inclined to stand its ground, kick up some hair. So I guess it comes down to which you value more, no hairs or more visibility. And again, obviously, there's always going to be exceptions to this. I got to say that because every time I do one of these, somebody comes on and goes, but mine's, I totally get it. And I'm not discounting that. But I think most of us will find that if we're keeping both species, one's going to be out in the open more, one's going to boogie and hide more. So next up, you have your spiders. What is our favorite thing to do with spiders? Feed them. We love feeding them. We love ones that have great feeding responses. We love ones that can hunt early on, ones that don't need pre-killed prey or freak us out because they're so tiny that what am I going to feed this thing? And this is a tough one because as far as hunting and prey drive, both of these species are, I put the same thing for both. They're both awesome feeders. They're active hunters. They're energetic hunters. They will hunt bigger prey very early on. I've had GBBs race across, grab crickets and roaches and roll over on their back. I've literally seen them sprint across enclosures because, again, that webbing is an extension of their sensory organs that we've talked about. The hairs are meant to detect those tiny vibrations. Now they lay out that webbing. They can detect vibrations all the way across that enclosure because of that webbing, both species. So I've seen GBB on one end of the tank. I drop something in the other. It's moving around. You see it freeze up. And next thing you know, it's sprinting across to grab it. D. diamantinensis, they have sometimes many different holes and openings and to their little webbed layers, and they pop out, grab the thing, and race back in. It's amazing to watch. So there's two fast spiders, two active hunters. They eat early. That both of them will eat pre-killed. When I first got those tiny D Diamantinensis, I don't even think I gave them pre-killed. I'd stun little Red Runner roaches, like crush the heads. You know, it sounds gross, but keeps them from, you know, running away. Drop them in, and they would come up and grab them. Sometimes the roaches were as big as a spider. So both of them, great hunters, will take down live prey early on. They will both scavenge feed if you can't find anything that you feel is small enough. Just awesome to watch. So as far as this one, there's no edge. I gave them both. I put them both in the yellow. They're comparable. I don't think, you know, I know folks will come on there and go, mine did this, mine did whatever. I've raised both. They're both fun to watch hunt, fun to feed, and I don't think either of them has an edge. So this one, it's a wash. It's a tie. Now, the next one, we're going to talk about a lot of times bigger is better when it comes to tarantulas. I've covered this topic before that a lot of us, when we get into the hobby, it's all about how big is this thing going to get. A lot of us, when we first started, and I'll call myself out on this, I would always look up a species and I look max size and it would be like, oh, 5 inches, that's not particularly large, and look for the larger spiders out there. However, that's not, as I've spent more time in the hobby, that's not always a good thing anymore. A lot of us don't want the larger spiders. A lot of us want smaller ones. I just talked to somebody, all they keep is dwarfs because they have limited space, and that allows them to keep more species than they would if they got larger spiders. So when talking about max size of the GBB, probably right around 5 inches, I would say. My two females are right around the 5-inch mark, or 12.7 centimeters or so. So a medium-sized spider. They don't get overly large, but a good-sized spider. And when you've got a colorful spider, sometimes it's nice to have one that's got some oomph to it. It's got some size. Now, as far as the D. diamantinensis, the BBB, we are talking about one that is considered to be a dwarf species. So females get to be 3.5 inches is the norm, but we'll put 3.5 to 4 inches or so. So a smaller spider overall, and that's 9 to 10.16 centimeters. So this is a much smaller species. Now, does one of them get the edge? No, because this is up to personal preference. I may like a larger spider, so I may go, all right, they look similar, I want the GBB. Somebody else may go, I love dwarfs, I want something smaller that grows a little quicker. They may go with the BBB. There's really no, this comes totally down to personal taste. So again, this is a tie as far as I'm concerned. If you want a bigger spider, you go GBB. You want the little version, you go with the BBB. There's really no right or wrong answer there. So max size, it's a wash. Both of them, it just depends on what you're looking for and what your personal preferences are. Now, next up, we have what probably attracts the majority of folks to these guys, because I know the first, I think I shared the story, when I was first doing research on tarantulas, I didn't realize it was a difference between old world, new world, and I started pulling up these pictures of these beautiful, like the cobalt blue, back then it was the H. lividum, I believe, now it's C. lividus, but I saw that, I was like, this is gorgeous, and then obviously the P. metallica is another one, blue, everybody goes nuts for it, and then I started to find out about old worlds, I'm like, all right, cross that off the list, and then I saw this one called the GBB, and my first thought was, this is Photoshop, there's no way there's a spider that looks like this in real life. And boy, was I shocked to find out not only was there a spider that looked like this, but it's actually a new world. So I think a lot of folks are attracted to the GBB right off the bat because it looks different than some of the earthy tones of the other, you know, so-called beginner species. They are beautiful spiders. And when we're talking about beautiful, we're talking about brilliant darker blue leg, dark to medium blue legs, really just sparkle with that blue, a almost metallic greenish blue carapace, vibrant orangey red booties, just an amazing looking spider. It's almost like somebody went, oh, we need some orange, we need some green, we need some blue, and put it together, and it works. It's gorgeous. Now, when talking about the D. diamantinensis, these guys get confused for each other all the time. And I actually went on and pulled up pictures, and I found at one point somebody had posted up, it said GBB, it was actually D. diamantinensis. So there's some confusion because they do look so similar. So you've got brilliant blue legs on the D. diamantinensis, although I would say that the legs are a little bit lighter shade of blue, a little bit I don't want to say sky blue, a little more of an electric blue. Greenish blue carapace with hints of blonde. When they get a little older, there's a little blonde encroaching in, where in on the GBB, the greenish carapace tends to be green uniformly. Orange red booty with sometimes they have some blue streaks underneath. So the top, the bristles on top are orange, but the bristles beneath, you'll see some blue in there. Now, the difference with these guys, and I'm sure somebody will disagree with me, and this is where it's going to kind of come down to personal preference. I think that the D. diamantinensis, in my experience, has been easier to get good pictures of where those colors pop. I've had really no issues getting, if you get a decent light on it, it doesn't even have to be crazy lit, and get your camera in there, you're going to get a nice picture of this spider's colors just popping. They're a little bit lighter overall. However, the GBB, I think, has deeper, richer tones, meaning that they're just, it's more darkly saturated, and it's a little more difficult sometimes to get those tones to pop, but when you do, they're just as attractive as the BBB. So it's a toss-up for me, because if you see well good pictures of both species, they're so difficult to tell apart because they're just so similar. I do think the D. diamantinensis is a little lighter overall, and that's why you get the better appearance with under the camera. It's easier to get them to pop. I think the GBB is a little bit darker overall. It takes the correct lighting, but man, if you get that correct lighting, those colors are so deep and rich. So I will, and here's the deal. I called this one a tie because I can't tell you how many people will come on and go, I think the GBB is better looking. I think the BBB is better looking. The D. diamantinensis. It's a matter of opinion. There's no right or wrong answer. Somebody can come on and go, no, there is a right or wrong answer. No, there's not, because they're both beautiful spiders. And you can tell by the fact that when you post up good pictures of them, people confuse them for each other all the time. So I think that's one, the reason why we're comparing them right now. If they look different, we wouldn't be having this comparison maybe. But because they look so similar, we have to nitpick the little tiny details. And in this case, I don't think there's really anything to nitpick here. It all depends on personal taste. I love both of their appearances. I find it a little easier to get my colors to pop on my D. diamantinensis, but I'll tell you, I've got some footage out there that I got of my old female GBB back in the day that's some of my favorite footage, because those colors just look amazing. They're so rich. So as far as color and patterning, so similar. It's people get them confused with each other. As far as colors, so similar. People get them confused with each other. It just depends which one you like more. So we are calling it a tie there. Patterning just about equal. Now, next up, we have webbing. For some of us out there, we love it, which is, I find it amazing because I've always loved spiders that web up their enclosures. I think that's the coolest thing. It's one of the reasons I love the curtain web spiders, because of all that thick silk they lay in there. It just amazes me that animal can produce that. I love the way they look when they're perched on it, and it makes the colors pop because you have that all white background with the brilliantly colored spider on it. Love spiders that web, and both of these species produce, I have for the same thing for both of them, copious amounts of webbing. These are guys that when you set them up, you can give them a hide, like a cork bark hide and a starter burrow, but what you really want to do is give them some foliage, whether fake or real. I'd go fake on this one, because mine, I put real plants in with the GBB and it killed them within a year. But you want to put in anchor points. I've used in my last video with the GBB, what we end up using, we have a grapevine in our backyard that was here when we got the house, and we trimmed off during the at the end of the summer, I trimmed off a bunch of the branches, cleaned them off, washed them off, and dried them out in my basement, so I have those. But you want to give them something to web to. If they web, you give them something to web to, web anchors, they are going to web the snot out of those enclosures. When my female GBB died, when I had to clean out her terrarium, it was an Exoterra Nano, the 12 by 12 by 12 one, 30.5 inches, or centimeters. And when I cleaned it out, I pulled out a sheet of webbing. I could not believe how thick and strong it was. Same thing with the D. diamantinensis. They are going to web up everything in that enclosure. They're going to have multiple entrances and exits. They're going to bolt to it. That's going to become their hide when they're disturbed. So if you like webbing, you have either of these species will tickle that fancy. They are amazing webbers. Now, next to emails and comments saying my GBB won't eat, is there something wrong with it? The biggest concern folks will have with it is they'll get a GBB if it doesn't web up. And I have been privy to several cases of folks that have perfectly healthy, happy green bottle blues that are not doing the webbing that they expect. There's always those little weirdos out there that decide they march to their own beat, they don't do the webbing. So it doesn't necessarily mean something's wrong with your spider, but the vast majority of these animals, if you see GBBs in the wild, they web up on the bottom, like around tree trunks, around the bases of trees. They web up in brushes. They actually, in brush, they come off the ground sometimes, and their webs will go up into the brush and off the ground. So they are heavy, heavy webbing species. So normally they're going to web. So if you're a person who likes the webbing, this is either of these species will be a great one for you. Now, the last category I had for this one, because again, you've seen the spider, you want the spider. How available is it? How much is it going to set you back? So we looked at cost and availability. Now, if I'd done this podcast several years ago and we talked about cost and availability, I think the GBB would have been a clear winner. They were more readily available. They're easily one of the most popular and best-selling spiders in the hobby. And their prices really haven't changed all that much. I looked up when I bought mine back in, 13 years ago, I paid around $40 each for them. Nowadays, they will cost you anywhere from $40 to $60 each. Now, this is obviously people have sales on them where they give them away for cheaper. I'm looking at just general, looking around at prices, and this is US dollars, by the way. We're looking around $45 to $60 or so. Now, as far as the Didiamantinensis, years ago, they were super expensive. Usually, you're looking at $75, $80, $100 each. They are now usually selling for, once again, around $45 to $60 each. Very, very comparable as far as how much they're going to set you back. Other countries, I'm not sure. I saw some prices pop up. They seem to be all over the place. Some places it looked like there was a little cheaper. Some places it looks like they're a little more expensive. I do know the GBB, from what I've heard, can be a very difficult one to breed because it takes a lot of time. Their courtship takes hours. So that may be one of the things that keeps the prices up high, even though they seem to be readily available. Didiamantinensis, I've heard, are a little bit easier to breed and pair. But the prices seem to be similar, and the availability seems to be similar now. Although Didiamantinensis haven't been in the hobby and is established in the hobby for as long, again, I think it's because they're a little more easily paired that you see more of them out there. They're more readily available. Back in the day, we used to have to rely almost totally on imports, and I think now they're being bred so much that they're easier to find. GBBs, I think the reason why the cost is as high as it is it's supply and demand. It's, again, one of the most popular, as evidenced by the fact that the prices haven't come down in all these years. I remember thinking, oh, at some point these are going to come down. No, they've been pretty similar. So cost and availability, again, it's a wash, folks. I don't see much of a difference. I'm sure other countries may disagree with this, so please chime in. I'd love to hear back because we are going to discuss this next episode. We're going to see, quote unquote, who wins, but it's a total toss up there. So last one I put on here, and it's kind of a joke. We're going to do most obnoxious fans. I totally kidding on this one, but I think because the GBB is so well established and a hobby, a true hobby staple, that folks who like the Didiamantinensis better feel like they have to be more vocal when it comes to promoting their preferred species. So I don't see a lot of people coming on my Didiamantinensis videos saying, yeah, these are great, but the GBBs are so much better. There are some, don't get me wrong, but mostly what I get is just folks saying, oh, it looks like a mini GBB, which, by the way, don't you dare call it a mini GBB with the fans of the Didiamantinensis. They hate that term. They think it's pejorative. It's like dirty, nasty. Don't ever call it a mini GBB. This is a spider that's far superior to the GBB, so how could you call it that? So that's where I see more folks, and again, I think it's because these are newer to the hobby, that they feel like they need to fight and get word out, which I completely understand. It was kind of like years ago with Pamphibidius were so popular, and I started getting into Formictopus, and I didn't go on to people's Pampho videos and go, you think that's pretty? Check out this. But I did feel like that the genus in a whole was being overlooked, and it was very similar to Pamphibidius. So I was trying to get word out that way. So I think it's the same thing. They're not trying to be obnoxious, even though they are sometimes. I'm just kidding. If anybody's out there, I'm totally being funny with this one. But they are a little more of a rabid fan base, where I don't see that as much with the GBBs. So most obnoxious fans, I'm sorry, I shouldn't use the term obnoxious. The most rabid fan base would go to the GBB. Again, a wash. It's just kind of a funny topic because I have noticed, again, that there seems to be a difference. It's a different type of person that'll sit there and go online and find people posting videos of one spider and go, no, my spider's better. Don't you dare call it a mini GBB. So that was a joke, kind of. So anyway, looking at this list, and I'm sure some of you, if you've been keeping track, have already figured out how this is going to work out, but I'm looking at it now. GBB, I have winning 1, 2, 3 categories. So I have it winning sling size, I have it winning ease of care by a smidgen, and I have it winning the visibility battle. Now, as far as the Didiamantinensis, I have it winning in the areas of growth rate. I have it winning in the area of temperament because, you know, again, they're more likely to run and hide than stay on the ground. And I have it winning in the area of hairs. No hairs. That's a huge perk right there. So as the rest of them, the ones I had them tied on, speed, pretty much tied. I know I said if I'd come back to this, if it tied, and we'd give it to the BBB, but we're just going to call it a tie. Hunting prey drive, absolutely a tie. Max size, tie. It's all in personal preference. Color patterning, tie. I don't care what anybody says. They're both beautiful spiders. And webbing, tie. Both web the snot out of their enclosures. Cost, tie. I have this one, in my mind, a tie. And that reflects how I honestly feel about these two species. I love them both. The GBB will always hold a special place in my heart because it was one of the first slings that I ever got. The first two slings I ever got of any species were GBB, and I got an L parahibana. And then I went ahead and got a second GBB because I really wanted a female. They were a little expensive. I didn't have the money at the time. So I waited a little bit. We had GBB1, GBB2 that both grew up to be big, beautiful females. I loved recording them, recording them with my phone, getting photos of them, just amazing spiders. But then the D. diamantinensis came out, and I love them as well. I will say that as far as just to throw my personal experience in there from working with so many people with these species, some folks seem to have a little more difficult time raising up the D. diamantinensis. I have more folks coming to me going, hey, I don't know, mine mysteriously died. Then I see with the GBB, but that could still be because in the grand scheme of things, they're a little bit newer to the tarantula hobby than the other ones, but I wouldn't put a knock against them. I think the care for both of them is very, very easy overall. So that would my pick right here. I have the versus. I have a tie because I really do think at the end of the day, it just comes down to whether or not you like one's color slightly better, or whether or not you don't like the fact one doesn't have hairs, or whether or not you like think it's a dwarf, whatever it may be. It's all comes down to personal opinion, but who cares what I think? I want to know what you guys think. So what I'm going to do is, and I think the only way to do this, you can chime in, obviously, on thomasbigspiderspodcast.com. Thomas Big Spiders, the podcast. thomasbigspiderspodcast.com. You can go on there and leave. I'm going to see if I can do a poll. I think I can do a poll. If I can do a poll, I will put the poll there. If not, what I may do is put a poll up on YouTube and put up a video to go with it. I know for a fact I can put a poll up on Spotify. So if it comes down to those of you that are listening on Spotify, and I know there seems to be an increasing number of people that are listening to on Spotify, feel free to go on and click which one you like better. I'm going to put a little poll up. Is it GBB for you, or is it D. diamantinensis? Which one do you prefer? And let's just for fun see what people think. Again, this is kind of an interactive one because I really do want to see. I think personally, it's going to come down to a tie. I don't think one's going to win over the other. I think at the end of the day, it's going to be so close. There's going to be people that love GBBs. There's going to be people that love the D. diamantinensis. And I'll probably put an option up there where I have no preference. I love both. And that's where Tom Moran falls in this argument. But let's get some more. Let's see what happens. And maybe we'll do a follow-up thing of it. We could even do a fun thing later on where we put a couple of these guys against each other in the verses, and then we kind of at the end of the day pick a winner from each one and then put them against each other. I don't know. It's all just for fun, guys. Something fun to do. Entertainment. While learning about them, because I think in this, we're not just saying, all right, this one's better, this one's better. We're breaking down those little nuances in terms of appearance and care and availability that can make a spider, I don't know, for one person seem better than the other. So that will do it for this one. I had an absolute blast with this one. I hope you guys did too, because I want to do more of these. This is a lot of fun, and I think it's a way, I'm always trying to find ways to kind of infuse some fun into what I'm doing, because I know a lot of what I do is just very, I like to think I put a fun spin on it, but it can be dry. It's talking about tarantula care. How much can you really go over? This is a fun way to kind of make a little game out of it as we learn some things about the care. So hopefully anybody that hasn't had any of these spiders before got some good information here out of this. Hopefully those of you that have one and are thinking about getting the other one, again, you have a comparison of them, and we'll continue to do that in the future. So as I mentioned earlier, my last video on YouTube was the GBB rehouse of my juvenile. I went through four questions that I get a lot on the GBB. I think they're, like I said, they're quite a different spider than a lot of the new worlds out there. So we talked about moisture. A lot of folks asked me about moisture. We talked about molt signs because this is a spider that's particularly difficult to spot those signs that it's going to be in pre-molt. We talk about setup, and you ready? Somebody's going to get their britches all in a wad here. I mentioned the term semi-arboreal, but this time I steered away from it because apparently people can't read that when I say semi-arboreal and I give you how many inches I would give them, they can't like process that. And then people yell at me and say, I'm giving bad advice. But we talk about the fact that with both these species, it would behoove you to give them, they're terrestrial, but give them some extra height. They are not going to fall and hurt themselves if you give them a few extra inches. And then we talked about the beginner, well, with the C. kinda pubescens, we talked about, is it a good beginner species? And it depends. They're fast, they kick, they're bolty. You have to be aware of that. But if you're aware of it and ready for it, you'll do just fine. So if you'd like to check that video, Billy got some excellent images of my little juvenile. Loving growing this one up again. They're beautiful as slings. They're beautiful, beautiful as juveniles, beautiful as adults. One of those spiders that all that there's like each phase they go through color wise would make for a beautiful tarantula. So that will do it for this one. As always, guys, stay safe and we'll catch you all next time.